Welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you?
Going all right. Going good. My throat decided to attack me before we started recording, but I think I'm all right now, which is good. Video games, what have you been playing?
Not a whole lot. It's been really exhausting this week. We're back into the hot part of this time of year where I live. Mid 90s Fahrenheit, so that's low to mid 35 C. Really just sucks the energy out of you. You just lay in the couch and thank God you're in America because you got aircon.
True.
That's the one thing above all else we 100% nailed. Everything else is, shades of gray, but you can definitely say we're at max awesomeness for air conditioning.
Yeah, I agree. There's some at the school's actually quite weird. I'm talking about the school that I work at, I should clarify that. Where, like, literally some different classrooms are, like, different temperatures, and then there's, like, because the school is in a bit of a Y shape. Because it's because it's special needs kids, and obviously putting in things like stairs and elevators would be a not great idea. So there's like no stairs in the whole school, so it's this Y shape, and literally like if you go in different parts of it, everything's like different temperatures. And there's excuse me, there's one part of the top right of the Y which has got the aircon. The left side of the Y, I don't actually go dead. That's not my area, so I don't know what's actually down there, but. Yeah, so anyway, all right, what have you been playing?
A little bit of 7 Days to Die. I'm tempted to go back in to Expedition 33 to try to do more story stuff, the optional stuff that I never got to, but now that I'm finished with the main story, it's not that I don't want to, it's just like it's like when you watch a prequel and you know nothing is going to affect the main story, so you kind of lose a little bit of it.
Right.
I guess is the easiest way to explain it.
Yeah. I think I see what you mean. For me this week, I've not been playing too much. I know I did say to you a couple of days ago, I was sent Expedition 33. I've not got it yet. I've not installed it, and I've not started it. I did hope to at least get it maybe today or yesterday so I could put in, the first couple of hours and give my impressions, but unfortunately that's not happened. I've been mainly watching, I won't spoil the surprise because I'm going to plan on reviewing this particular show tomorrow, but I've been catching up with, I'll give it a little bit of a hint. There are 3 seasons of this show, and the third one recently came out. The third is the final season. And, I've got 1 episode left, so I'm going to should be watching that and reviewing that tomorrow. So that's, I've just been sort of catching up with that.
Speaking of shows, do you know what randomly hit Amazon Prime TV over here in the States?
I do not. Please tell me.
Cleaner, which is a show where Taskmaster host Greg Davies is a crime scene cleaner.
Cool. Nice.
So that just like randomly shows up out of nowhere.
Nice. He was in between us and stuff, wasn't he? So I know Taskmaster's pretty good. I think David watches it. I don't just never quite went over there myself.
It has its moments.
Nice. But I've just been catching up with that particular show. I like to surprise the audience, so you can all now listen to this and look out for a review of something tomorrow. I also need to do the United cast preview as well, so I'll do that maybe tomorrow as well. But for games, I've been playing some COD, usual kind of shenanigans there. I've kind of got to a point where I'm like, I know which guns work quite well, or at least are more reliable than others, but I find it, like, not boring. I find it, well, I guess boring is the word I'm looking for, to use the sort of, okay, this gun works well, so I'll just use that. Like, I do want to be challenged. Unless you come across the sort of people who just hop from one side of the map to the other, like bunny rabbits and, do all that crazy stuff. The people, you know, the people that slide, run, jump, slide, run, jump, slide. You know, those sorts of people. That's when you want to get the reliable guns out. But I've been trying a couple of other different guns, and that kind of thing. So that's been kind of fun. But yeah, not started any new like story games. I've jumped into Astrobot for a little bit. Of course, talked about that last week with the final, or at least currently final five. Trials. I didn't actually get around to talking about them last week, did I? I know I kind of hinted at who the bots are. Of course, I don't want to spoil those ones because those are pretty new. They're really quite difficult levels, especially the last one. The last one kind of you use like four different power ups to get through the level bits. So that's quite challenging. So I did see a couple of people on Reddit saying like, "Oh, I guess I'll have like one bot left because I can't do this last level." It's like, look, if you could do the Grandmaster level, which is about as difficult, so the Grandmaster one is the last main one of the main game, but this last one's called like the Mega Mixer something or other. It is more difficult than the Master Challenge, but it's about the same level of difficulty. But yeah, played all those last week, so those were really, really great as well. I think we tend to kind of, even for people that do play the game, like, just how technically sound that game is. Like, it just, apart from the odd little bump here and there, and I'm talking very, very rarely, it remains incredibly impressive. Obviously, graphically very good and all that kind of stuff as well. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing what Team Asobi do next. So, but yeah, we have a chunk of news to talk about this week. Hopefully next week I will, I mean, if I don't have Expedition 33 by next week, then there'll be something wrong with the old postal service. I did play a little bit more of Rematch. I got to a point where I'd like exhausted that, and I'm waiting for like the next part of it. I think what's kind of not ruined the game, because you can't say the game's like ruined yet, it's on season zero. Some people are just, and I kind of knew this would happen in a certain way, some people are just too greedy. Like, and I get it, you get the ball and like, oh, I can score the winning goal because there's 30 seconds left. I get that, but sometimes it is better to just pass. Especially when like, because I always did 5v5. Especially when all four of the other people are running forward and they're all like, pass, pass, pass. And then you do like a terrible shot over the goal and then you miss and then you run out of time. So, but still played really well. Still some like great mechanics and things. Still lots to get used to because it's a very different kind of football game. But still really, really good. But yeah, people have just got to kind of be less greedy with that. So that was still really good. I did try a little bit of what's that RPG that Avowed? I didn't try it for that long, but I kind of wanted to jump into some other games, so I tried it for a little bit. I might go back to it at some point. I don't know if it was a mood thing or because I knew Expedition 33 was on the way, but I didn't kind of continue with that. So I sort of, you know, went through the couple of the start bits and then put that back on the shelf. Yeah, that's me at the moment, pretty much until I get Expedition 33. Could be tomorrow, could be the day after. Have to wait and see. So, anyway, that's all the things we've been playing. Let's move on to some housekeeping. We'll see you for that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, so recently on Entertainment Talk, I of course got a new refreshed Breaking Bad podcast this week. It's a big one this week. It's season 3, episode 10. For those of you who can't remember what the episode is, it's the infamous fly episode this week. So of course that's a podcast from a couple of years ago. It stopped working properly, so we are replacing the episodes. They're not newly recorded ones, they're still the original ones that we've been putting out week to week. So yeah, getting near towards the end of putting those out. So at some point in the next a month or so, we should be transitioning to Breaking Bad Season 4, which is actually the penultimate season. So, that's Season 3, Episode 10. We've got three more to put out, and they'll be coming out 2 p.m. every week on Wednesdays, so look out for those. Numbers have still continued to be really, really good on those, so thank you to everybody who's even new or going through them again or whatever. Thank you for the support on those. That's Breaking Bad this week. Of course, big film this week, actually it was two weeks ago, whatever, Superman. I finally seen the David Consuet led James Gunn written and directed Superman film, of course the reboot for the DCU and the reboot for Superman, and I gave it a don't skip rating. Very curiously interesting film. There are large chunks of it that don't work, there are large chunks of it that do work, there's bits and pieces that are very just curiously interesting with it, but it gave me a challenge in terms of which rating system choice to give it. So yeah, that's at least interesting in of itself. I don't know if you've seen the film yet or you have any opinions on it.
I have not seen the film. I don't go to the theater much anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just too expensive. I mean, even going at 1 p.m. on a Sunday to get the matinee, it's $15.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I could just wait literally 2 months and rent it for $7 online somewhere. Yeah. Amazon, I guess, now.
Yeah, VOD stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, gave it a don't skip rating. Obviously, spoiler-free, spoiler-split sections with that. So if you have or haven't seen the film, you can still listen to the first half of that podcast. And of course, following on this week, we get another superhero film in Fantastic Four First Steps. Realised that I don't actually need to wait for the weekend because I'm off work now, so I might see that on Friday, might be Saturday. I'll have to wait and see, but those are the 2 days that are open to me. Yeah, Fantastic Four First Steps is the next one, and then yeah, that'll be the big three for July, because of course Jurassic World has already come out, so which we've already reviewed as well, so check out that. Over on Gaming Talk last week, we talked about God of War. There were some murmurings and rumours and chatter, and Sony Santa Monica posted a little clip teasing an Atreus game possibly, or the next God of War game, so we talked about that. We also talked about Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet, of course, Naughty Dog's next game, written and directed by Neil Druckmann. There was some rumoured, but quite likely information that was put out about that, so we went through some bullet points there, and of course we talked about Astrobot and guessed who the next bots could be, if there are any. Over on recent reviews, of course, Strong Must Play review for South of Midnight, still thinking about that game and all the good stuff within it. Thoroughly enjoyed that. You can go listen to that review as well if you want to, and if you missed a bit of sort of follow-up chatter, you can listen to last week's Gaming Talk as well, where we talked about that. What else do we have here? Of course, my Don't Skip review for Jurassic World Rebirth, so that was the other big one for the summer. My Sierra review for Ironheart Season 1, and that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's move in some news. Alright, following on from more rumors, and you could call this a leak if you want to, but I'm not going to specifically paint it at that. This is in the same category as Intergalactic, where this information is not confirmed, but it's quite likely. And even if it was random rumor mill stuff, we can always have fun speculating on certain things. But this is for COD 2027. Yes, there will be another COD game. Of course, there's going to be Black Ops 7 this year. Probably Modern Warfare 4 next year. And then it looks like COD 2027 is going to, of course, be in 2027. It says here, this comes from Modern Warzone, which is a popular Twitter account. So it's not, you know, some completely random person. It says COD 2027 is created by Sledgehammer Games, but it will not, says not in capital letters here, be Advanced Warfare 2, reportedly set in a completely new sub-franchise. And then there's three little bullet points here. Modern era setting, no jetpacks, but movement is a big focus. Movement's always a big focus. And then says zombies currently not planned. Of course, important to remember, in Black Ops 6 there is a zombies mode. I'm not sure what Black Ops 7 is going to do. I've actually, because you know, from when they went Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, then Black Ops 6, then Black Ops 7, which, by the way, ever since 2007 the franchise has never done back-to-back sequels, and now they're going to do it twice, because Modern Warfare 2 to 3 and then Black Ops 6 to 7, so they're going to do that for reasons that so yeah, setting a completely new sub-franchise, because what we kind of had before was Modern Warfare was always like the most popular, the main one, and then the next was kind of Black Ops was the next appreciated one, and then you had kind of oddball games. You had sort of like the World War 2, then you did have like Advanced Warfare, Infinite Warfare, which they weren't connected to the Modern Warfare ones. Those were sort of the two jetpacky games, which I think both of them are terrible, and clearly is why they didn't make another one. And it does, again, not confirmed, but it does say quite definitively here it's not Advanced Warfare 2. I remember about 6 months or so ago when there was speculation of that, and some people really wanted it, and I said it would be a pretty terrible idea, so glad it's hopefully not going to be that. But yeah, there's always been kind of like the third developer who's made, like, games that weren't Black Ops or Modern Warfare, so whatever word you want to use for those, like the other series. Now, while it's, because the most positive thing to take from here, or the two most positive things to take from here, is it's not going to be Advanced Warfare 2. I just think that would have genuinely been a waste of time and money. It still would have made money, because it's COD, unfortunately. But that would have been a bit of a waste of time and money. But this being a completely new sub-franchise, now, while I don't think COD needs a new sub-franchise, because I think it needs less output than what it's currently got, because it desperately needs a break, if you are going to keep putting these out year after year, which, let's face it, they're going to continue to do that, because why would you stop putting out something that makes money? Regardless of how the thing is received, you know, if it keeps making money, why would you stop putting it out? And, you know, COD is one of gaming's big juggernauts. So while I'm not happy, per se, about, like, a new piece of this, because I don't think it needs a new piece, that at least points to some possible refreshed idea. So if it, like, if you are going to put new things into this, which, again, it doesn't need new series and, you know, more new games, if you are going to do that, at least do something a bit different and a bit interesting. So hopefully that leans more towards that. I don't know what that could be. It says modern era setting. Although if you are going to do a modern era setting, I don't really think it'd be a great idea if you step on Modern Warfare's toes, because I don't even know how to describe what Black Ops does now. I didn't play Cold War's campaign. I didn't play 6. No idea what's going on in 7. So that is what it is at the moment. At one point it was about mystery and Mason remembering the numbers, but I don't know where it went from there. So there's no jetpacks, which some people did want, but I just think for, like, jetpacks and stuff, I think COD should just, regardless of the series, I think it should always be a boots on the ground type thing. That's not to say you can't use, you know, some futuristic stuff and all that. I just think it's bad enough when people are, like, managing to jump over your head and slide around the corners and stuff. I don't need people running on the walls, that sort of thing. Although if you were to include, let's say, like abseiling, like a rappel kind of abseiling, kind of grapple mechanic, that would be great because that would be like the boots on the virgin ground of that. Like if you had people dangling off the walls but not running across them, that's something that could work quite well. I'm surprised COD's not done that actually. Like especially when you started including breakable windows, like it kind of makes sense that you'd shoot, or you wouldn't even have to shoot it. You'd shoot a window above you. You'd put a what's that thing that you throw to a ledge that you can hook?
A grapple hook?
Yeah, the thing that's got like four spiky bits on it, and you'd usually throw it like in a window, and it would cling onto something, and then you could climb up it. Whatever that thing's called. That you would like maybe throw that into a window and climb up, like COD's never done, apart from in campaign missions, which is different. And then you could shoot people off of them, and that would be pretty fun. You do have ladders and stuff, so that's pretty nice. It is quite funny when you're in a room and you can hear the clanking of ladders. You're like, right, someone's coming up, and you see their little head there, and you just shoot it and shoot them off. It's usually quite fun, unless that person is you, of course. So, yeah, we'll see what this is. Of course, we won't really know what it actually is for about another 2 years, unless we slowly find out other information. But this is again, this isn't news that makes me happy, happy, but this leans in at least a better direction than what it could be. So, again, I know this isn't your circle of games, but what do you think of some of the wording and things used in this information?
Well, you have and this is like a really weird thought tangent for me,
Okay.
but if you like sit down and really, really, really think about it, a jetpack is way more feasible than a grapple line. Because if you think about it, the biggest problems with jetpack is thrust to weight ratio, fuel consumption and storage, and then basically making it so that the thruster packs don't fry your butt. But those are all you can kind of engineer around them. But like with a grapple hook, especially like something you would do in a combat, shooter scenario where, you launch it out, it zips you up. Because first off, you got to have the thrust to get the projectile there. Then you got to have it to where it 100% locks on whatever you grapple hook to. Then the retracting motor has to be strong enough to haul your butt up to wherever it is, and then you got to have somewhere to contain the cable line. That's way more harder to engineer than just a jetpack.
Totally get what you
And
mean, but
that's just me growing up with a dad that worked with truckers and sailors, and so I think in terms of logistics. As for the rest of the stuff, it's not for me to say because it's not a genre game I play. And I've tried, all different kinds of shooters. And outside of Fallout 3 Beyond, never really gotten into them. And even then, with the Fallout franchise, it's more the world than the shooty, shooty, bang, bang part of it.
Exploration and that, yeah. So, totally get everything you're saying, and I agree. But from a COD gameplay standpoint, it might not make sense. It would slow the game down in a good way because the thing that would make COD worse with jetpacks is you've already got people sliding and jumping and, complaining the game's weirdly too slow, but then still finding a way to just like run halfway across the map before you've got a quarter of the way through it. So if you introduce something where you could, let's say, climb better or climb at all, because unless you're jumping on ledges, or I guess climbing through windows sorts of counts, but I'm talking about actually climbing upwards, which I've wanted to do a few times, or even if it was just like hiding above. Let's say there's a door that's below a window, and you rappel halfway up the building, and then you're listening out for like people below you, people above you, which will be quite fun. I just think, and you couldn't really hover with the jetpack in that way, unless you did it in a certain way. I'm more thinking about kind of a cool idea where you could sort of wait for people there, or I get you get accused of camping, but doesn't matter. But and I know within the gameplay it would be quite slow, but that would genuinely better than like someone, because then somebody could probably jump, slide, jump, do a jetpack over your head, and it would just get a bit out of hand, because it already is kind of out of hand. So with the way people are jumping and sliding at the moment, if you interject a jetpack into that scenario, it would just get a bit ridiculous, I think. Don't get me wrong, it'd be cool to, like, okay, you're running through the middle, you jetpack upwards, climb into a window, shoot someone, something like that, but it would just work, that would, I just think, go smoother and be less just ridiculous. And don't get me wrong, if you've got, like, a Halo or a Titanfall, that to me is where things like a jetpack fit in, because it's kind of more of that style of gameplay. But yeah, so we'll see what happens with it anyway. But yes, there's no jetpacks, but movement is a big focus. Well, we did have Omni movement introduced in Black Ops 6, which I don't know which COD games that will be in going forward. Some people really like it, some people really don't. But we'll kind of see what happens there. But anyway, we'll find out more about that in the future, because we've still got to find out what next year's game actually is. From that, all right, let's move on, completely changing gears from COD to Assassin's Creed, but not to do with the games. It says here, this is from Shinobi602, who's a nice guy you can follow on Twitter. He like reposts news and talks about games, and he's a cool person. So Assassin's Creed is getting a live action series at Netflix, helmed by Robert Pattino, who's done Westworld and Sons of Anarchy, and David Weiner, I think. Who did Halo and The Killing. Two very interesting different CVs there. That's from The Hollywood Reporter. So one kind of very key, again, it's probably very early days. I think this was in the works like a good few years ago, but clearly they've, you know, stepped back or chosen a different path or whatever the case may be. But it's now confirmed to be for Netflix, and I think I did read in one of the articles it's actually being ordered to series, which means it's good to go, unless, you know, an executive throws the script out or, you know, something like that. So it's basically good to go. One of the interesting parts about this, they haven't said, okay, it's about Assassin's Creed, but that's a broader term now than what it used to be. They haven't said who the assassin is going to be. Now, you've got, as much as you can criticize Ubisoft and criticize Netflix, which we've all done that at different points, and I think both of them, but in different ways, have earned their criticism. let's call it that. But you know, when you continue shooting yourself in the foot, you don't really help yourself, do you? So Netflix has got an interesting opportunity here, and I want to explain what I mean by that. So when you started out with Assassin's Creed in and around, I think it was 2007, and you had the story of Desmond Miles, and you had the basic idea kind of like a Matrix-esque thing where he finds out he's got some ancestors that were assassins, and he gets told, okay, there's a, I can't remember the actual name of the, is it Abstergo? I can't remember the name of the villains now. There's the evil group that's coming after you, and before they do that, we need you to learn the skills of your ancestors' assassins, so that you can be the modern day assassin, and, you know, save the day. Of course, you go with him specifically, you go through Altair, Ezio, who are two of the best known ones, and then Connor, I think, in Assassin's Creed 3. His story came to an abrupt end in Assassin's Creed 3, and the franchise has been kind of floundering about since then. There's been some good games still, but they have become far and few between, and now it's just, I don't know what the series is actually about at this point. So, but Netflix has got an interesting opportunity where, and I don't know what rules they'll be given or what Ubisoft will tell them they can and can't do. But assuming you make the show well first, because that's the first thing you need to do, of course, write it well, cast it well, you know, directors, all that sort of thing. If they're not restricted by Ubisoft, because I'm assuming this is kind of, okay, Ubisoft has licensed this out to Netflix, Netflix is going to make the series, because even though Ubisoft does have Ubisoft Plus, which I don't know how many people use that, they don't have a streaming service. So assuming Netflix is smarter than, well, they can be smart at some points. Assuming Netflix is smart and Ubisoft doesn't get in their way, and the people who are actually working on it, so the actual TV people, are also smart, you could actually properly tell Desmond's story in this, because there shouldn't hopefully be any restrictions. Now, I see three options for Netflix here. They'll either simply adapt the games, which, again, once you get to a certain point, I don't know where you kind of go for a TV show. You either adapt the games, which will that will fall off after a certain point because the games did. You could either do something completely original, which could give you something fresh to do, but I don't know if that's the best idea. Or you go past Assassin's Creed 3, but you continue and conclude Desmond's story. The third option is one that I'd prefer. Like, you forget about the mistake that the games made there, and you still adapt Assassin's Creed 1, 2, Brotherhood, Revelations, and 3. You adapt all those games. That's going to take many seasons, but you do all those. And then once you get to that pivotal point in Assassin's Creed 3, let's say you pivot into a slightly different direction, and the ideas that were originally there, which Troy Baker has talked about, you do them in a TV show. Now, unless Ubisoft goes, nope, you can't do that, you've got to move from Assassin's Creed 3 to, probably was Black Flag after that, wasn't it? That was number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because they stopped numbering them. I don't think there's actually an Assassin's Creed 5. There was then, you know, Origins, Odyssey, Unity, and Valhalla, all the other ones. Those are the three options I can see. You either adapt all the games the way they are, which I don't think that idea lasts. You do something completely new and original, which could be fresh, but I don't know that's an entertaining or interesting idea. It would depend on what that is and who it is and how good that actually is. Or you take option 3, which is where you adapt the better games, and then you would have to... You'd unfortunately have to come up with your own original material, because for the people, and I don't know what their names would be because you're talking probably over 10 years ago, whoever the people were that were doing those older games that did eventually, you know, in interviews years later, talk about the ideas that they had. I remember there was an interview with Troy Baker where he said about how you'd be able to do like time travel stuff, Desmond's story was supposed to continue, and there was an actual idea there, but Ubisoft just did what they did and dropped the ball with it. And we don't know where that leads to or where it goes, because we were never told that story. Those are the three options I can see. And we'll see where that kind of goes. Anyway, Robert, what are you thinking? Do you think Ubisoft might get in the way? Do you think Netflix will do it well? Which of the three options sound best to you? What would you kind of think of this?
Well, I have no faith that Netflix will do it well, because... they don't do anything well, hardly anymore. Don't count on it being Desmond's stories, because they will never continue Desmond's story for reasons that are obvious, but I can't say. And outside of that, there's no real... I mean, they're making it because they got to throw money at something, but based off the sales of the last game and the fact that it was... 10 years between that game and the other game, that franchise is just not in the news for any of the right reasons.
Yeah.
So there's going to be no real, buzz about it, unless they cast somebody that you just can't ignore.
Yeah.
Like if for whatever reason they decide to continue Desmond's story, they never will, but let's say hypothetically in the alternate reality we're not living in, they decide to do Desmond's story and they cast Tom Cruise, that would make people watch. Or they cast what's the next Tom Cruise, the new guy that's doing the Running Man reboot?
I don't know.
Anyway, he was the good-looking cocky guy in the Top Gun Maverick movie, and he was the cocky good-looking guy in the Twisters movie, and now he's leading the Running Man reboot. If they cast him, that might get enough people to do it. But I call him the next Tom Cruise because he's literally typecast like Tom Cruise was in the 80s. He's a cocky, arrogant, good-looking young guy. But he... works the hell out of it. You know, it's like people that get typecast as the bad guy, or basically anything Bruce Campbell does. That's actually a famous quote from Bruce Campbell. He's like, "Yeah, I phoned in, but I got the best phone in the business."
Yeah. What I mean by do Desmond's story is obviously do like, not from Assassin's Creed 3 forward, but you do from the first one, and then you would, and it would take you about, again, depending on episodes and lengths, it would take you 4 to 5 seasons to get to that part of the story, and then you'd have to, continue it from there. I weirdly, you might think I might have done, but I actually haven't thought about who they could cast as Desmond. Tom Cruise is a good, like, I mean, I was gonna say not somebody older, but he doesn't age. So.
Him and Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Do you know who I can see them? And this wouldn't be a, not that he's bad, but I don't think he would fit it. You know who I could see them looking at is just a default like Tom Holland or something. Because they'd go, oh, he was, Spider-Man and Nathan Drake, he can be Desmond. Somebody who's like in their 20s and good at action, although you can get stunt doubles and things like that. So I don't know. Anyway, they could go for something completely different, and then who knows what might happen from there. But my main kind of point from this, and the main thing I'm sort of, I don't know if I'd use the word excited, because I always wanted to see where that story was going to go. This is pretty much the only way you can really do that, because they're just never going to go back there with the games. So, but that would depend on if Netflix thinks to do that, and if Ubisoft doesn't get in the way of that happening. Because I
Yeah, I
think
looked the guy up. His name is Glenn Powell.
okay. But if you want to look at, okay, what would be the safest business-wise money option? I do think it would be adapting, Desmond Altair Ezio, because people love those characters. So that, I do actually think that would be like the safest thing for them to do. But we'll see. We'll see in about 3 years when we hear about this show again. Just talk about who this is being helmed by. So Robert Patino, Westworld, Sons of Anarchy, and then David Weiner, I think his name is, Halo and the Killing. Those are two very different CVs. Now, Sons of Anarchy, I don't think was like phenomenal, but I think it's a very, very, very good show. Westworld was very, very good until it went off the rails a little bit. It actually did get cancelled, but it ended in a decent spot to where I still recommend the 4 seasons. And then The Killing, I think I watched a few episodes. I never quite like got the ball rolling with watching that, and then Halo is just terrible. So, but hey, even okay, if someone, let's say, who's worked on Halo, I don't think that show is very good and all that sort of thing, that doesn't mean you can't come over to something different and do a better job. I don't know that that's going to be or not going to be the case or whatever, but sometimes you've got to let people do kind of different things. So yeah, we'll see how this goes in a couple of years once we start hearing more things. Just
Yeah.
out of
I'm
curiosity.
gonna
Go on.
in chat here, I'm gonna send you a picture of a Glenn Powell real quick. Let me know if it pops through.
Okay. I do have a one there, so. Oh, right, yeah. No, it'd be a good choice. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him doing it.
Just out of curiosity, because while I agree with you about like, okay, you wouldn't trust Netflix to adapt this. Apart from obviously Amazon, because they do some good jobs adapting things. Who else would you, not just for this Assassin's Creed thing, but let's say for video game adaptions, who else you would trust?
Honestly, I can't think of a single one because I think of all the streaming services out there. None of them really touch on sci-fi outside of Amazon and Netflix. It's like you're not getting sci-fi from Paramount or Peacock or any service like that. You're definitely not getting it from
I forgot about Peacock.
Discovery. Yeah. Weirdly enough, Warner Brothers is dumping a ton of their DC animated movies on YouTube of all places. And like
Interesting.
the hardcore stuff, like Superman Red Son,
No.
Batman Ninja, Batman and Harley Quinn, Batman versus Robin, things like that. I think some of the older stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has to do with like licenses or something else, but
Probably, yeah. Something like that. For me, I'd say HBO is still at the top. Apple doesn't do maybe they don't do as many adaptions as I'm aware of, but when they have done things like like Foundation, which I need to catch up with the third season of, because Foundation's one of the ones I think that's from like a book, and a lot of people describe that as like possibly unfilmable. I don't know specifically why, but that's turned out to be really incredible.
what's
But
the
yeah.
one where they split your brain and you don't remember the outside
Oh,
world where you're at
Severance.
work and
That's
on
what
that
happened.
Severance? Yeah, that's kind of sci-fi-ish.
But HBO, Amazon, Apple, those are sort of the best three. So, anyways, move on from TV adaptations into. I don't have anything written down for this because apparently it's happening in the next couple of days. It looks like Battlefield 6 is about to get properly revealed and possibly released this fall, as they called it. There was the classic modern thing of the trailer for the trailer. Because I got up today and started just like seeing a bunch of information. I was like, oh, Battlefield 6 is. We can talk about that today on the podcast. And then it was weird because I typed in, and I did this three times today, because I wasn't sure if there was an event and I'd like it hadn't come up yet or whatever. And I saw all this information about a teaser trailer. I typed in Battlefield 6 and then Battlefield 6 trailer. There was no, I couldn't find an actual proper video for it that was like either on EA's channel, like that didn't come up. Like if you go right now on YouTube, let's say, and type in, Fantastic Four trailer, you'll probably get either the Marvel one or something like that from that channel. Anyway, I found it on some different upload, and it was like a 40-second thing, and then it said full trailer tomorrow or reveal trailer tomorrow. I think I saw an October date for a beta, and then they said that it might come out in and around November, but we'll find out more on the 24th. Which will be interesting if it does specifically come out this November, because obviously that's when I think I don't have the date on my mind, but Black Ops 7 is obviously out October, November. And the thing that shooter fans and COD fans and whatever have been crying out for is obviously more competition in that genre, but specifically for the boots on the ground first person shooter warfare series. So let's just hope that, because Battlefield 2042 had a lot of promise. There was like a lot of potential with that game, and even though it's recovered since, the sort of moment for that game I think has passed. Although people do play it, like I remember getting it for PS Plus and just kind of jumping in and see what was going on, found the lobby very quickly, and there was people playing in there, but it's not one that's obviously talked about as much. But assuming you launch well, because that's the thing with a live service thing, right? You don't get that stuff from right from day one. People just kind of jump off and just go back to what they were doing, because people don't tend to wait around for that stuff necessarily. So they have the second chance here, I suppose, because again, 2042 could have been really, really great. It turned out okay from what I like played from it, but again, it's not being mentioned in the same breath as like the COD games. So this is kind of their second opportunity to if you I mean, I don't even know what that means necessarily in terms of, okay, can this game compete with COD? What does that mean? Is it like, are you going to get more sales than a COD game? Probably not. Because that's and this is where it does get into annoying stuff, because you do have COD and FIFA come out every year, and granted, while you could argue the football games are all the same, the COD games are from a different series each year. Like, go from Modern Warfare 2 to Black Ops 6, very different game. You're still shooting, guns in first person and playing similar game modes, but settings different, maps are different, gameplay feels different. It's not, the same thing. Whereas you play FIFA every year, you're probably going to play as one of the same few teams, play as the same similar players, and that sort of thing. But what both of those really, really need is not just like a couple of games to come out, but something to just start brawling with it properly. Like, again, as much as I enjoyed Rematch and I thought it was a fresh, different idea, it's not going to step anywhere near on FIFA's toes. Like, it's not even going to get close. I still like the game, still want it to do well. I will look to return to it at like a later point, but yeah, not kind of the same thing. So, and I do remember back in like sort of 2005, 2006, which, gosh, that was 20 years ago, when there was actual talk every year from people of, okay, which one are you buying this year? Are you buying PES? Are you buying FIFA? And they both had their pros and cons. And I think when I was at school at that point, and me and my friends just, we actually switched between the two. We're like, okay, which one are we sort of, because they both had different kind of gameplay styles and things like that. And it would be, okay, which one are we in the mood for? And we would just go with that one. So that was the last time there was like competition for something like FIFA. And again, unless you talk about some of the Battlefield games, like 3 and 4, Bad Company, things like that. Battlefield 1 didn't really do that. Battlefield 5 didn't do that. Medal of Honor is MIA. It's just not come out for a while. Well, I don't know that would do it either. But Battlefield is the next closest thing to it that isn't a Halo or a Titanfall or something like that, that could, you know, throw a few punches back, let's say. But the game's going to have good ideas. It's going to definitely have to launch well. So we'll see what happens. So yeah, we'll possibly talk about depending on what they reveal and how much interest I have in it, we might talk about that next week. But yeah, that looks like that's all going to be getting revealed very soon. Any thoughts on what Battlefield 6 could, should, or might do or whatever?
No, just the only thing that I wish they won't do, but I know they will at some point, is some stupid cheesy tie-in. It's like, I think it was Fortnite, but I forget which one. Probably Fortnite, but they were adding Beavis and Butthead as characters. Six. Yeah. Oh, see, there you go. That's a stupid, cheesy tie-in from an IP that hasn't been relevant in 20 years.
Mm. Yeah. Is that still
but on? They probably got it TV? Cheap. I think it is. Actually, it was an MTV show, and it was kind of like,
okay,
it was kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, in that they would do a story skit for like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they'd watch a video from either like a music video or an MTV reality show and just crap all over it.
Hmm.
It's like the one I remember was from Jersey Shore. For people in the UK, yeah. Jersey Shore is our The Only Way is Essex.
Yeah.
Only yeah. Way worse. And so one of the chicks on the Jersey Shore show literally has a chalkboard writing out all the dudes that she slept with and all the chicks that she knows have slept with that dude. And it was like this weird, you know, kind of like a family tree, but in like the worst possible way.
What?
And then one of them, I forget which one, says, ah, yes, so now you can track the pathogen of the herpes you're spreading around. And it was that level, but that's where we got King of the Hill from, because Hank Hill was a neighbor of Beavis and Butthead, and that got spun off into its own show.
Oh, interesting. Nice. Yeah, they added those to Black Ops 6, and people had an issue where, you know, because obviously they're animated, and they were a bit too bright, so you could, like, spot them really easily. I don't know whose idea that was or whatever, but I saw some footage of it, and I saw some footage of it, and they were pretty bright. So yeah, I wonder what they would look like on. I know you don't know the map, but there's a night map that nobody likes on Modern Warfare 2 called Black Gold. I wonder what they would look like on that, because they would really stick out. Anyway, we'll see what Battlefield 6 has to offer in the coming days, weeks, months, or years, if it gets there. So we'll see. Alright, that's it I've got this week. That's all I've got this week. I mean, what do you want to talk about?
Alright, well, first up, and this came completely out of nowhere, no rumors, no whispers. I first saw it as a chat message on my Xbox. Microsoft has shut down the movie and TV purchasing rental services across Xbox consoles, Windows PC, ending the ability to buy or rent digital movies and television shows through the company's native storefront. The closure, which was only announced through an update on the support page, represents another step away from Microsoft's previous multimedia entertainment strategy. The company left out sent out a quote saying, quote, "Microsoft no longer offers new entertainment content for purchase, including movies and TV shows on Microsoft.com, Microsoft Store for Windows, and the Microsoft Store on Xbox. Users can continue accessing previous purchase content through the movies and TV app on their devices, or you can migrate and curate all your content through the Movies Anywhere app." And that synchronizes through across, I know, Xbox and iTunes Store. I don't know about anybody, any of the other ones. Microsoft also confirmed that third-party streaming and purchasing applications such as Prime Video and Apple TV will continue to operate normally. So this is really wild. So they're technically not shutting down the streaming because you can still access it. They're just not selling it anymore.
Usually what I do if there's a film or something in mind that I want to see if I can buy or stream somewhere, because I use a Roku box and they have this thing where you go to search, you obviously search for whatever it is that it's called. You click on it, and then it will say, "Hey, here's your maybe one, maybe five, maybe six, three, however many different things it's on." And it will go, "Okay, you can stream it on this with ads, rent it or buy it for this much." And you just kind of flick through your different options. And so, for any films or things like that, let's say that have been out for a bit, and I go, "Oh, a few months since that was in the cinema, see where it's at on streaming and stuff." I usually do that. Plus, that lets me just click on it right through my Roku thing if I'm happy with the price and whatever, and I, have time to watch the rented thing before it runs out. I then just do it through that, because I usually, at least on Apple, I think they usually have a buy and a rent option, and then it says like, if you rent something, you have 30 days to press play, but then once you press play, you get like 48 hours. That's how I watched John Wick 4 a couple of weeks ago, which pretty good film, by the way. Very, very long. It's 2 hours 50 minutes, but pretty good film. So I just kind of, and if it's like, okay, am I happy to rent this film for 5 quid or something, and then I sort of go from there. It's also how I watched 28 Days Later when I was catching up with those films, and then because I searched for Months Later, which is the second one, that was like it said streamable through Disney Plus, so you just click on that, and then it just takes you straight there. I did use the Microsoft one a couple of times, because that wouldn't have been on my Roku thing, because Microsoft streaming is not on there. But I would usually search through the Xbox and then see prices and different options, and pick kind of the best one. It's one I haven't used for a while. I did buy a couple of remember Fear the Walking Dead was on, and you could kind of buy like season passes for certain shows, and if it was a weekly show, it would kind of, okay, when Monday pops around or something, you'd get like a new episode available to you, and you could kind of watch it through that way. So, which I think you can probably do through other services as well. So, yeah, it's one that I used to use, but then once I kind of got a Roku box and stuff, I just always pick that anyway. So, how about you?
I've used it several times because I've mentioned this before in the past podcasts, is I'm not comfortable with my credit card being saved on several things, and I would always just add gift cards because I can go to the store. There's actually a store that does it has gas pumps, so I could go buy a $50 gift card, get double points, have 100 store points, go to the gas points, cash in the 100 points, and get 10 cents off a gallon of gas, which at the time when it was, $3.85 a gallon where I live, that 10 cents matters. And then I just redeem the card and make purchases for games or rent movies or whatever. Just kind of depending what I was feeling in the mood for. And I did the same thing back when it was Microsoft Points before they converted it to cash. But yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I never bought anything. I was always doing rentals because if I want to buy something, I'll buy a physical copy.
Right, yeah.
Because, and this is a perfect example of why physical copies matter. Because they say you can still buy it until their license runs out, and then you're screwed.
Yeah. Well, Phil Spencer's not going to knock on your front door and take your films away. So,
Yeah.
yeah. There is a little bit of a worrying precedent right now. Is precedent the right word to use? Of let's say Willow's the most recent example I can remember, where it's like, okay, show's cancelled, tax write-off, take it off Disney Plus, don't put it on DVD. And then, unless you do find it, elsewhere, which I don't know what happens to those copies, you can't technically, legally in quotes, let's say, watch that thing anywhere. Because if it's like, oh yeah, still subscribed to Disney, well, they can take things off. And then if it's sort of, oh, I'll go and buy, I don't know if there was a Blu-ray or whatever made for the show, but like a DVD for the show. And those get pulled before you can buy one, then there isn't anywhere else you can actually. So that's like an actual genuine way, and unfortunately legal way, for these companies to like actually erase content. Because obviously you've got things like residuals, and that can catch up with them. And if they don't want to put any more money into something that's in their eyes failed, that's unfortunately a way that they can do that. That's why, like you said, physical media matters, because then if you've still got your player that can play that, and you still got your DVD, then again, unless Phil Spencer comes and takes away your DVDs, then that's kind of the safe way to watch stuff. So
Yeah, there's actually a more recent one than that. Hang on, I'm looking it up right now. Because it was on Disney Plus. It was a movie called Togo. Now, are you familiar with the animated movie Balto?
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, it was an animated movie. Back in the 1920s, there was a massive, deadly viral outbreak, and they had to use dog sleds to run like insane distances to get the vaccine to the kids, or otherwise like thousands of kids were going to die. And so in history, Togo was the dog that did all the really dangerous stuff. Balto kind of stole all the credit with the Disney movie. But Disney Plus, for some reason, made a movie called Togo, and it had Willem Dafoe as the main character,
I remember
and
that,
it's a
yeah.
really interesting story. And then when they did their purge back in 2024, and they got rid of all that, a ton of stuff, that was one of the movies they got rid of, which is way worse than you think, because streaming's so popular now, residuals from streaming is a big part of the contracts that the actors sign.
That's why I do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it, even if it's sort of okay, we won't renew it or make a whatever. If people do keep watching that until a certain threshold is reached, well, whatever that would be, you do have to pay your actors. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I doubt it's still the same, but I know at one point all the main actors from Friends were getting like 20 mil a year from residuals
It's
from
crazy.
licensing
Yeah.
to TV shows.
That's
Don't
one
know
of the
what it's
reasons.
at now.
That's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons there was all those strikes and stuff, because some actors were getting residuals of like 12 cents or something, and it turned out that it was more expensive to do the check itself than actually pay the
I doubt it's still around, but there was at one point a bar in Los Angeles to where if you brought in a residual check for less than a dollar, they'd give you a free shot and then just staple the check on the wall.
Anyway, all right, what else can we talk about?
Well, Ubisoft decided to show you how much they don't have any kind of self-awareness. So they recently had their annual shareholders meeting, and CEO Yves Guillemot has to take questions, which I'm sure they were great questions. One of the latter questions that slipped through the screening process, they asked about Star Wars Outlaw. Obviously, that game crashed and burned. And the shareholder straight up asked Guillemot if this was a failure of marketing. And Guillemot decided to blame the fact that Star Wars fatigue is the reason the game failed. Not because it was a broken mess, not because of all the BS with the actors and the whatnot and
The
the
everything.
gaslighting and all that other fun stuff. It was strictly because people were tired of Star Wars, is the only reason why it failed. Now, are you familiar with the YouTuber Tom Christie?
Don't think so. No.
He, definitely somebody you should check out. He does comedy parody on the lines
Okay.
of stuff, and probably his most popular series involves Skeletor and He-Man.
Right.
And he was, yeah. So he does the voice of Skeletor, and he has like very simple animations, but something will happen, he'll just crap all over it. And he did one with the Switch 2 launch and just had a field day with it. It's absolutely hilarious.
All
I'll send you a link when we're done.
right.
Anyway, after he gets done with his shtick, He-Man comes in and tries to be the voice of reason. And they talk back and forth and they get on to the fact of the price. And He-Man says, do you really think that Switch 2 users are going to pay 20% of what they spent on the console to rebuy an old game? And Skeletor immediately goes, yes. And then He-Man goes, just because you're correct doesn't mean you're right. And I fucking love that line because that it perfectly encapsulates Guillaume Dumont's attitude. Yes, there was a bit of Star Wars fatigue with the Acolyte and whatever the hell. And everybody that I know that I watched the one with all the kids, whatever that was called.
Oh, Skeleton Crew. That's
Skeleton Crew, yeah.
Jude Law, I think, is that his name?
Yeah, Jude Law. Every single person that I know that loved that show said it would have been 100 times better if it wasn't in the Star Wars universe, and that universe really brought it down. Which I don't know. I don't have Disney Plus. I haven't watched it in a while. I haven't had it for a while, rather. So I don't know about that, but I could totally see that because that show actually reminds me of a really old movie from the mid-80s called Explorers. I don't think you could stream it anywhere. I don't know if you can even buy it. It would never have been put on DVD. At most, you might be able to find like an old VHS copy. That.
Skeleton Crew was a little bit like Goonies, but in
Yeah.
Star Wars, it had like a similar thing to
Yeah,
that.
Goonies has a much better cult classic kind of a thing,
Oh yeah,
which is the
it's brilliant.
shame
It's a great
for
film.
Explorers, because Explorers is River Phoenix and Ethan Hawke getting dreams, which turn out to be circuit boards, that lets them build a spaceship out of busted amusement park ride parts, and they go off into space and have adventures. For a 10-year-old, that's like the best movie ever. I'm actually going to check eBay and see if there's anything on that. I haven't been on eBay in forever.
Just talk about this main story though. It's funny that because when people mention things like superhero fatigue, of course we do actually still get superhero films. The difference with Star Wars though, now I know there has been a bunch of shows because you did have. Let's see, what we've had in the last couple of years. You had the Obi-Wan show, you had Ahsoka, you had Skeleton Crew, you had, I think it was last couple of years ago, Mandalorian season 3. You had, you do have like the anthology ones as well, and then you had, what was the most recent one? I can't remember what one it was. But we haven't actually had a Star Wars film for 6 years, and it will be 7 years because obviously we ain't getting one this year. That streak will end next year because we'll get the Mandalorian Grogu film. But yeah, it's funny like that always kind of Because yeah, Episode 9 was the last Star Wars film we had. Now, that's not to say you have to put out films of something to get audience to have fatigue, because obviously there's been a bunch of shows, and then, like, you know, a couple of games and stuff. So I kind of disagree with him in that way, but like, some people are fatigued from Star Wars. I personally am not, necessarily. But see, there's a line between... And this can, you know, apply to anything, really, any sort of IP, is, like, if you're, like, let's say a big fan of something, and you get, let's say you get 2 films a year from a franchise, and then those do well, then you get 3 films and 4, and let's say it goes all the way up to 6, because if you look back in, let's say, like, 2017, 18, 19, and we were getting, like, 3 Marvel films a year, 3 DC films a year, which, even still, even when we did have 6 comic book films a year, or Marvel and DC films a year, you put those into 6 months, because you've got 6 films, you still are going half the year without any of them at all. But the thing is, let's say we do eventually go, because obviously the DCU's starting, if you do eventually go back to Marvel putting out 3 films, DC putting out 3 films, if all 6 of them are at least very good, very enjoyable, does fatigue still apply in the same way? Because, like, I don't know, because I don't think, and even back in, let's say, 2017, 18, 19, that's also when we had, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we had all the CW shows, we had things like Cloak and Dagger, there was a lot more of that than what we're getting now, but it was, I don't know, like, in a post-Endgame world where we are getting less DC films, because the DCEU kind of died off, and then the MCU kept going, I felt like there was actually less coming out, but, because, you know, DCEU started getting muddled, and that did, like, 1 or 2 films, or whatever, but people were kind of moaning more about superior fatigue then, so I think it maybe is just when, it's not to do really with volume, but to do with actual quality, so... I don't know. I think it's different per person. So, what do you think of fatigue and how it might apply, I guess, to this situation?
I do have superhero fatigue, but it's more for the writing than anything else, because everything that I've seen, the writing was just terrible. I did tap out after Secret Invasion. That writing was god-awful. I've watched spoiler reviews for Ahsoka and The Acolyte, and that was just bottom gutter swamp writing. I think at one point I said you could get 1,000 monkeys drunk flinging their shit at keyboards, and it would produce a better script than The Acolyte.
It's funny, because out of all, apart from, what's that show called? Not Rogue One. The other
Andor.
Yeah, Andor. Yeah, that was the newer one that I. You know, and I was trying to remember the other show. That was the other one, because that had a recent season. Apart from that, which I need to go and start again because it's only got 2 seasons. Acolyte's the only actual one, at least mainline, because I didn't watch anthology stuff. That's the only one that I didn't actually start. I don't know why. I just didn't actually end up even starting it. So. But at the end of the day, if the game had been better, if it had launched in a better technical state, and if it didn't have, you know, a person knocking someone out by, with their bare fist punching a mask, which doesn't really make sense, then it might have been better. Because there's an idea there, you know, there's certainly like the smuggler kind of rogue, you know, Han Solo kind of type thing. It doesn't always have to be lightsabers, but... See, that's almost the kind of disadvantage that video games have got, where, I mean, TV and film can do it, but not in the same way, is if your game's got a great idea and it does have good writing, but it doesn't launch in a good technical state, and that just, it just sticks out so much more than, because, like, okay, in a film or in a show, you can have, let's say, bad CG, that's what you technically look at as sort of the bad technical parts of a show, but a TV and a film can't have, you know, glitches in the same way. So again, it's kind of, because even if the game had been written better or there were better ideas in there, if it still came out in the same technical state, It probably would have ended up the same way anyway, so I don't know. So yeah. Anyway, what else do you want to talk about today?
Well, next up, Splitgate 2 is going back into beta. I think this, you know, this does check all the boxes for an apocalyptic disaster. 1047 Games announced that it will reveal, it will revert Portal, Splitgate 2 back into beta, lay off an unspecified number of employees, and shut down the Splitgate 1 servers next month. Quote, we've heard your feedback and we agree with you. We launched too early, says co-founder Ian Prolu and Nicholas. I ain't even going to try to say that one. Explained on a lengthy post on Twitter X. We had ambitious goals, Splitgate 2, and in our excitement to share it with you, we bit off more than we could chew. We rushed certain features, made some boneheaded mistakes, and most importantly, we didn't give you the polished Portal-filled mayhem you fell in love with, which I can respect. They're not saying, oh, this person, or oh, this group. They're just saying, yeah, we effed up. We're going to try to fix it. And I can absolutely respect somebody that's doing that.
I should have also said we're sorry that, like, the guy that came out on, was it Summer Game Fest? I can't remember which show it was like, came across a little bit too cocky as well. So, yeah. Cause didn't he have, like, a skateboard on the stage or something? And he was like, yeah, my game.
I honestly don't know.
I think he did, like, the sort of Hello Fellow Kids or whatever that
thing is. Oh, yeah, that
He kind of behaved a little bit like that. And then, like, they showed us as soon as they showed us the first bit of the trailer, and granted I'm more in these circles than you are, I was like, okay, is this better than Marathon? Is it better than Destiny? Because it just looks like another, I think it did mention Battle Royale, like another sci-fi Battle Royale game. And speaking of, you know, fatigue and having too many things in the same genre, there is way too many of those games, of which one of them hasn't even launched it, which is Marathon, which is from a much bigger company. But yeah, I mean, look, okay, if you have like a passion, an idea you're passionate about, and clearly they had obviously a level of passion for this, I can't fault that. But you do sometimes, particularly in like the gaming industry, realize like, okay, should we actually make a game in this genre? Because there's already just so much here, and maybe try to tweak it, or I don't know, come up with a campaign or a story mode or something within that world. But yeah, I remember it getting announced. I think I saw it in the PlayStation store. But yeah, my issue was just I felt like the guy who went on the stage and announced it, it's good, you know, it's good to be confident, that's important, especially when you're on a stage. I didn't want him to, you know, go on the stage and be all nervous and, you know, looked like he was going to have an anxiety attack. I don't want him to do that, but and sometimes there can be a fine line between it, but I want you to be confident about your game and tell me how good it is, but just don't come across as like cocky. That's just the way that I kind of perceived him anyway. Do I think of the last time because you said it there that it's gone like backwards into beta. I'm trying to think of the last game that did that. I mean, I know you had things like, I think it was like No Man's Sky and Cyberpunk, where it's like they got taken off the PlayStation store, and then, you know, the two companies went away for a year and a bit, came back and was like, here's our brand new thing. But that's not really the same as reverting into a beta mode. That's kind of, okay, our game doesn't work, it's so bad that it's taken off the store, we're gonna go away, be quiet for a while, come back in about a year and show you how cool our new version looks. But no, I can't think of like a live service game or an online game that went back into its beta. So anyway, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, like I said, I respect the fact that they took accountability for the fact that they messed it up. Cause this easily could have been another Concord.
Oh yeah.
which obviously they do not want to do. And so we'll just have to see, jumping into a saturated market like they did, you really got to have something completely unique that people want, and it's got to work.
Certainly. And launch in a good state. That's very, very important, as we've learned. All right, what else do I want to talk about?
Okay, well, the last thing I have to talk about is a big shakeup from the VTuber community, which I'm not really a part of. There's a couple of reaction channels that I like that are VTubers, just because of their personality. The animated stuff, I really don't care. They could just be a voice off screen, but how they react to something and the thoughts that they add are interesting enough for me to follow in. But this is kind of a big one. So probably one of the bigger streamers is a VTuber named Iron Mouse. And she's, dealing with legal stuff with her agency. This is right here. I just lost it. V Shoujo. So Iron Mouse did a 30-day subathon stream to raise money for the Immunity Deficiency Foundation. The stream raised over $500,000, but because the contributions weren't made through Twitch's verified fundraising platform, Tiltify, it was on VShogo to make the donations on her behalf. In a new video, Iron Mouse claims that the agency still has not followed through with the donation over a year later and has decided to leave the agency. Quote, "I wish I could tell you more, but right now I have been advised to wait for legal proceedings. As of right now, I am an independent VTuber. I am at a loss of what to do right now. The entire situation has broken me. I just wanted to do something good and get back to the community that helped me." And this posting set off a firestorm. Since the video went live, a massive outpouring of support for Iron Mouse and a large number of VTubers are leaving V Shoujo. Those include Kason, Project Melody, Amalie, Jaime Hajime, Kuro, and Michi Mochi Eevee. Don't know any of those, but that's a lot of that's like one, two, three, four, five. The fact that the article references seven people leaving, you gotta figure they were important enough people to make the list. Project Melody tweeted out on Twitter X, "I waited to make a statement because I'm always anxious and struggle to find my words, but yes, I'm leaving V Shoujo. I was an OG talent, put everything into this company, but I'm beyond devastated at what has happened, and I never in a million years thought I'd be saying these words." Other VTubers are coming out claiming they haven't been paid in months. The article doesn't have any official statement from V Shoujo as of yet. And this is one of those things why charities and charity streams are always so dicey, because you got to really trust who's doing the third party stuff. It's like I see, charity this, charity that all the time where I live, and it's just somebody with a cardboard sign in a bucket. And I'm like, it's sad that that's the world we live in, that my default is to not trust that.
I know slightly off topic, but that's why, let's say when I'm walking around in one of my local towns and there's someone on the floor with a cup and they're like, asking for money, and it's like, okay, if I give you any amount of money, I don't know who you are, if you're actually homeless, if this is a stunt, or what you're even going to do with that money. I usually, and it's not always a nice thing to do, but usually just walk past them. But and I mean, I'm on my scooter now more, so I don't see it as much as I used to. But you have no idea who that person is, or what they're gonna do, or anything really. So
Yeah,
it's if.
I work downtown where I live, and there's a lot of homeless people downtown, and I'm going to get my lunch, and I've had literally people straight up ask me to buy a chicken sandwich for their dog. Not even making that up.
Right. Yeah. But no, it does suck when someone's trying to do, it doesn't have to be charity, but something that's nice or has really good intentions, and then something that wasn't their fault ends up, messing them around, especially in this kind of situation with lots of money. I also do, and this can apply to Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, any kind of online spaces where someone does do something so outrageous, and when I see the differences between someone who's trying to make like really good intentioned, hardworking like content, and let's say they maybe don't get the flowers that they should for whatever particular reason, and then you've got someone who does something outrageous or said, and okay, you can, tout about free speech in whatever way you want to, but if someone says something like ridiculously outrageous, and it's like, okay, it doesn't mean you should be, in prison or something necessarily like that, but it's like when you've got someone who does something really bad or does something deliberately with bad intentions, and it's like you don't deserve the opportunity to do content creation. Because then when I see someone like that who, and by that I don't mean this person, I mean in a general sense, do something so bad, and then I look at somebody like this person who's trying to do something really good, or like, let's say someone's worked, I mean, Kadikris does this now, where he used to do a lot of separate videos, and now he's just like, okay, I'm gonna give you basically one film length YouTube video per month, and all of his community is happy with that, and they usually like what he comes out with, and there's clearly a ton of hard work went into it. Someone like that who, and he goes really like, above and beyond, and he does skits and all that kind of thing. And you look at someone like that and think, right, that's somebody who deserves and clearly is very grateful for that opportunity. Because there's people that I know who want to do content creation, but because of one reason or another, they can't do it, or don't have time, or don't have the, space to do it, or something. And it just, I would say it upsets me or makes me feel sad or something, but it's just kind of a bummer when I see someone who, for some reason, has been given a platform and whose audience follow them for whatever reason, and they just take advantage of the opportunity or do something in bad, in a bad sense. And then someone who's much more hardworking who just doesn't get rewards that, I think that they should or something. So, yeah, it is a shame when those kind of things happen. And I've seen people unfortunately have to step away from doing content creation because they can't, or they don't have time, or whatever. You look at one quite big example is the What's Good Games ladies. Now, I can't remember the exact reason they stopped doing content, but they all did become like mothers in the end and get really busy, and they all mentioned that, and there was other stuff going on, so I think eventually that just kind of gave way. But they were fantastic at making content, and they deserved that opportunity, and they did a bunch of good stuff, and for reasons that, whatever they were, they had to stop, unfortunately. I think they're still in and around the industry and all that, but they had to stop. But and then you have people that are just taking a piss and like threatening people and doing like fireworks in their own, I can't remember who did that, but like doing fireworks in their own building because it's entertaining. I see, I it, it's there's two very different versions of this. There's people that like go really high and above with sort of, they're trying to do something really, really creative. Again, like a Kadikris with his skits and things like that, where he has like props and stuff, but he usually tries to be like very, very, very careful. And then I see people kind of, literally lighting fireworks on a stream or something, and I look at someone like that, and it's like, why can't you just make something ordinary? Not necessarily normal, because I don't know what normal content creation even means, but like, why do you have to do, like, is it because you think it's funny, or you'll get, like, how far do people need to go these days for likes and clicks and views? So I don't know. Anyway, that was a lot of stuff, but yeah, it's a shame that this has happened to this person, and hopefully they can get the situation resolved. What do you think in general of like the content creation space and related to, you know, people that do hard work, but then people who also kind of take the piss? Hello? Did you mute? I think he's muted. I think he muted everybody.
Yeah, sorry. I was okay. Having a coughing fit. I forgot to unmute myself. What I was saying was, is that the problem is that Ordinary doesn't get any attention. And the you know, creator content space is glutted with a million people doing a million things. And unless something goes super viral for whatever reason, you know, it's going to just sit there and do nothing. I mean, I've had a YouTube channel for going on near 20 years now, and I've done nothing with it, but that's by choice. I'm older. I've never felt the appeal of vomiting your existence on the internet. I remember in the mid to late 2000s when the in real life point of view, you know, self vlog genre really took off, and I'm just like, why would you do that? You know, just hold a camera to your face looking like a madman, which is why we have selfie sticks. And the fact that there is double digit deaths every year from selfie sticks, from people trying to get that perfect angle and falling off a cliff. No, that's not me being sarcastic. That literally, there's like 30 or 40, it's like 30 to 40 people a year die trying to get a photo with a selfie stick, and they just over the edge.
My phone's going to fall off the thing. Better reach out for my phone, and then they both.
Yeah, better grab it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get people that go viral for all the wrong reasons. Sometimes it's, you know, saying something terrible, and sometimes it's just like, how are you capable of forming human speech? It's like the one that falls under that category that I remember. Lady was doing a cooking stream, which I kind of, I like, people love to learn how to cook. So she's cooking in her apartment and starts a grease fire.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, she doesn't call emergency services. She doesn't, frantically look for the fire extinguisher, which frankly, if you're cooking with grease, should have been at the ready to begin with. Nope, she starts asking chat for help.
Yeah, no, I remember that one, and she didn't look like she quite had a plan, or I don't know.
I mean, she was panicking, so I try to give her the benefit of the doubt, because it's probably just like a mental reflex, like you don't know what to do, and you're a streamer, so you're just used to asking chat. So I can kind of see that, but if, like I said, if you're cooking with grease, you have that fire extinguisher out. It's like, not the apartment I'm in now, but an apartment I had before was gas cooking. And I had a big Dutch oven, a big Dutch pot that I would use anytime I wanted to deep fry stuff. And it was always on the stove because I try to recycle the oil as much as possible, run it through some coffee filters, not clog up, the sewer networks and whatnot with fat. Anytime I deep fried something, right next to the stove was the fire extinguisher. And I forget if I've said this before on the stream or not, but when I used to do recycling, the biggest damage was always lithium ion batteries, because when they burst, they explode. And standard fire extinguishers will not put them out.
But yeah, no, I remember once, like, I can't remember what the person's name was, but there was someone who had, like, a loaded gun on a stream or something, and it didn't have the safety on, and I think the gun did go, no one got hurt or got shot, but, like, the gun went off, and it's like, what are you making, and why are you in this situation?
I remember that clip, and that's one of those things to where it's a good clip in that you show why firearm safety is so important, because one, the guy was drunk.
Was he drunk as well? I can't remember if he was drunk.
I remember that clip. He was drunk. Okay. And two, he had a loaded gun. And then three, he started pulling the slide back and forth. and that caused an accidental discharge, and he
Yeah.
basically shot his monitor, which that's a he never touched the trigger, but when you rack the slide back and forth that many times,
Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
risk hitting the firing pin, and that set off the round, and then he dropped the gun and dropped to the floor because he got freaked out. Probably sobered up real quick after that.
Imagine so, yeah. But yeah, just things like that. So anyway, that's all the stuff you had for this week, I think you said. All right.
That's all I
Well,
got.
let's move off of that madness and talk about some feedback. If any of you got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on anything we talked about a lot of different stuff. Of course, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter, social media, eTalk, or not Twitter, social media, eTalk UK or Entertainment Talk, and his information in your show notes. Josh writes in, not necessarily first, but written first. Josh says, some thoughts on who could be in a Halloween Astrobot level, which we speculated about last week. It says, Until Dawn characters. It says there's a recent film, which there indeed was, Sweet Tooth, from Twisted Metal, which there's a second season coming up for, and then said maybe some Last of Us characters as well. Yeah, of course there is some Last of Us characters in there. There's no Twisted Metal, no Until Dawn. I'm assuming if they do Until Dawn ones, it will be based on the game cast, not the film cast. Those characters. Shouldn't say the cut.
Assuming they get rights to their likeness,
Yeah.
but then again, it keeps the Astrobot's head, so they can work around that.
Yeah. So, because yeah, now that I think about it, I don't think it was just a change of the cast. I think they were actually different characters. I don't know. I never actually saw the film itself, but I don't think they were trying to replicate it. But then they changed one of the major plot points anyway. So, it wasn't exactly video game accurate. It's so strange. It still strikes me as really strange that, like, one of the fundamental things is, okay, eventually in different set pieces you control each of the characters but at different points, because you follow them one by one, and one of the things you've got to do is try to obviously keep them all alive unless there's one that you want to die or something. And the idea is, okay, if they die in the game, they're permanently gone and there's the stakes there. Yet in the film they changed it to where if you die and it reaches dawn, that they come back to life, which is completely different. Whereas the idea in the game is because help is going to be on the way, but it's not going to arrive until dawn. So you've got to survive until dawn, hence the name. Not the fact that time would reset itself. I think it was at dawn, and then they would live again, and it was like a live, die, repeat thing, which those two things are completely different. I know they had the Wendigos in there. I know they had, I think the cabin was in there. Because I would watch an Until Dawn film. I think it could work as like a slasher, horror flick kind of film. That was never my problem. My problem is the fact that I don't think you had the same characters, and also the fact that you totally changed the whole death mechanic.
Yeah, I think they made it like time travel or something like that.
It was like a time loop thing. Which is again totally different. So yeah, assume if they put them in there, it would probably be the game characters. And then yeah, Sweet Tooth, a lot of people pointed him out as well. He's like one of the main, that's the clown, I think, from Twisted Metal. And they do have a second season coming out very soon. That first season I would say had no right to be as good as it is, because it has no material to work from. And that again is something that you take Until Dawn, and in my opinion, again, making things isn't always easy. You have a very simple premise to follow there, and you chose to change it, and I don't think it came off as well. And then you look at something like Twisted Metal, and it's like, okay, well, how do you make an adaptation from that? Because there's nothing to adapt from. You still take the crazy Destruction Derby-esque, like Mad Max thing, that the theme there, but you make almost, apart from Sweet Tooth, you make almost completely new original characters, and you have to make a storyline within it, and they did it really successfully. So it just goes to show you sometimes that with certain people, if you have sort relatively easy to adapt source material in front of you, and you muck it up, but then sometimes you have no source material, and you come up with great original content. I don't know. So What other, so if it, let's say again, hypothetically speaking, if they came back in October and did a Halloween like horror filled level, which there are, there's like a couple of spooky levels in the game, which is where you get like some of the Castlevania people and Sir Daniel Fortescue, obviously from Medieval, and I think Bloodborne was in one of them. Who else could they add? I'm trying to think of horror characters they don't have in the game, but yeah, Until Dawn is one. Would you class Death Stranding as horror? I mean, there's some horror elements in there, right? Like there's the
Horror
beat.
adjacent.
Because you've got Sam in there, but there's, from what I understand from the second game, like a bunch of new casts, so maybe you could put some of them in there. Any others that you can think of? Any other? It doesn't have to be first party games. It could be, oh, Dead Space would be a good one. Like Isaac from Dead Space, that would be pretty good.
Any iconic bosses from Dark Souls or Elden Ring? Something like that.
You do have Demon Souls in there, so you could put like the Tower Knight or something. Because they do have, I won't say who they are because I don't want to mention too many. I know I've got a little bit looser with mentioning certain Astrobot names, but I don't want to just mention all of them. There are three characters I can think of who have bigger bots in the game, and they do those quite well. So yeah, you could include like some tall bosses and stuff. Maybe something like a Lies of P. Could put older Pinocchio in there. You do have like Sophia and some like Vanini and a few others. You could put some of those in there. But yeah, we'll see if they actually end up doing that, I suppose. I mean, I get what people are meaning when you've got the main levels in the middle in the galaxy, and then a Christmas level on the right, and there's just nothing on the left. Yeah, symmetry and all that. So we'll see what happens. Abed writes in and says, "Does it feel, sorry, does it feel to both, does it feel to you both, sorry, like there isn't a big game this fall? Yes, COD, FIFA, and the usual, but what is the big anticipated game this fall?" I think Borderlands is coming out soon. Is it Borderlands 4? I'm just thinking of some names of
There's
games.
some big games coming out this month.
Yeah.
Let me look at.
Yeah, certainly. I think what happened was not that we all assumed like, okay, GTA's definitely coming out this year. This and that would have been, what was it, November or something. Because everybody probably wanted to avoid that, which is smart, unless you are a FIFA or a COD or something. You want to get the hell out of the way of that. Probably, at least a month, release your game either at least a month before or 2 months afterwards or something.
Yeah, just in August alone, there is Mafia: The Old Country,
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Gears of War Reloaded, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which for Switch 2, that's going to be a big release. And then for the 2D side scroller, there's Shinobi: Art of Vengeance, which just popped up on my radar, and that looks kind of cool. Might have to check that out.
Yeah. I think there's like, yeah, Little Nightmares 3 in October. But yeah, it kind of just feels like it was a bit, should we stay, should we go? When's GTA 6 coming out? Because we should all be
Now,
avoiding that.
there's not a whole lot of hype for a lot of these games, which I can, see why you think there's nothing big coming out. But I don't count it, but August is always the annual Madden release.
You do have things like Metal Gear's in there. There's Hell Is Us, which is getting a little bit more attention. I'm looking forward to that game. What was that other thing? Yeah, Little Nightmares 3. So the people that love Little Nightmares will have their eyes on that, but I don't know about big game. But that's the thing as well, because that's at the moment scheduled for May, GTA 6. So if you're looking for your game to be now, like if you can't get your game done before November, which obviously nobody should rush their game because we know how that works out, do you come out in March? Because March is kind of like a prime time for big stuff. because you want to, because then it's like, okay, if you either come out in that sort of just post January window, like just post Christmas window, and try to get your game out between then and May, avoid May like the plague, and then when after that do you go, is July too early? Because then you're already 7 months through the next year. So, because it's not just going to be a story game. People are probably going to like explore it a lot, and there's going to be a lot to do, and obviously the online aspect. So, I think is it 26th of May? So, yeah, that will bleed into early June. And then that's, you know, 6 months into the year. But then what's the chances that, okay, Warback, if it doesn't come out in May, it comes out in November next year. And then people have to kind of move again. So I have to see what happens with that, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know what the big. Yeah. Again, Metal Gear is a big name. But it's not Metal Gear Solid, you know, 6. It's a the new kind of remake thing for it. So. Have to see. Any other games that you saw there you want to mention in your list or whatever it was? Because you were up to about July or so there, or looking at August. Did you mute again? But yeah, we'll have to see. Because I don't. Cause apart from Battlefield, which we now know is maybe October, November. We're kind of past that sort of big summer reveal of games as well, so I don't know if we'll get anything else big actually announced for this year. Anyway, let's move on to the last one. Vicky says, first time, long time, welcome. With Xbox and PlayStation putting games on each other, do you think Nintendo ever considers this? Not to be blunt, but no. Has Nintendo ever done that before? Certainly not. No. With, you know, Mario, Zelda, and yeah, obviously those will be nowhere near Xbox and PlayStation. Xbox is still doing that more than PlayStation. I know you've had, like, some of the games come to PC and stuff, but, like, if we're going, like, Forza's already on the table, because we've already had a Forza game on PlayStation. Gears of War, which is one of their big, big games, is about to go to PlayStation. Halo is going to be the big one, but I think that's a case of when, not if. And like I said on my South of Midnight review, probably some point in the next year that will be on PlayStation. I think until, and I don't think this will actually happen, until a, you know, Horizon, Uncharted, Last of Us, God of War goes on Xbox. I'm not talking about PC. I know some of those games you can get on PC. But, like, you know, 5 years later, I can't see PlayStation actually doing that, like a native version, like a Gears of War is doing. Because, yes, if you have obviously a PC, you can do, if you're a Game Pass person, you can obviously do those through there, and still have, like, PlayStation games and Xbox games on PC. But I just, and maybe it will happen at some point, although Sony doesn't seem to want to do that, I can't imagine you going on an actual Xbox console in an Xbox store and, like, buying Horizon or God of War, Uncharted or Last of Us. I just couldn't really see that. I'm trying to think of the biggest named game.
Helldivers 2.
That's a big one. Yeah, yeah, that's a good example. Helldivers 2. A big, I'm talking in-house first party, so things like Ratchet and Clank, Returnal, Spider-Man. I did see, by the way, when, I know we were talking about the Helldivers thing last week, there was some random thing that popped up about people asking for Spider-Man on Xbox. I'm not sure where that originated from or where it came from, but yeah, that was kind of flirting around. But I think until Sony does that with one of those, I don't think they're going to do that. Again, you might see kind of, what's a second party game I can maybe think of, or a third party game, when they had the Final Fantasy exclusive for a bit, and now remake is like going to Xbox, but Sony doesn't own Square Enix.
Yeah, that's a Square Enix game.
Heck, they had problems getting, you know, Astrobot in one of their games. So, yeah, and until they do something like that, things like, you know, Crash Bandicoot and Spyro are different because they're all Activision. Plus, they're on Xbox anyway. I can't see them doing that. But Nintendo, no, I don't think they'll ever do that. I can't imagine booting up an Xbox or a PlayStation or even a PC and seeing like Mario or Zelda on there. So, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, they would never do that with their first party. A lot of the third party games are making the move to PC because they don't see the need to, gatekeep anymore. Obviously, the Final Fantasy, not hardcore remakes, but the updated versions, all hit Xbox and Steam.
Didn't you got some
Dragon?
Didn't you?
I got the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the second one, but I hated it. It reminded me why I don't play that franchise anymore, and I haven't bought any of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Quest, which was Dragon Warrior over here, 3 went out a while ago, and the 1-2 remake comes out in October, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we'll see what happens. So, anyway, that's all we got for this week's episode. Thank you all very much for listening. Of course, next week we might talk about Battlefield 6, depending on what it looks like and whatever else. And yeah, hopefully I can talk about Expedition 33 as long as I get it and at least put in some hours to it. But yeah, there should be some podcasts tomorrow, one on Friday. If I don't see Fantastic Four on Friday, then I can see it on Saturday. I'm a little bit busier on Sunday, but either Friday or Saturday. But the good thing at the moment, because I now have 5.5 weeks off because we finished on a Tuesday for some strange reason, then I don't have to wait for weekends for the somewhat foreseeable future. So if I miss it on Saturday, I can always go in on Monday and see it as well. I'm trying to think, what's the next big film after Fantastic Four? Try to think. I know there is that.
I don't know, but I'm not really paying attention to films anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I know there is. There's that horror film called Bring Her Home or something. That looks really quite interesting. So maybe see that at some point. Anyway, you can keep an eye, of course, on what we're doing over on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms of the same name for TV, games, films, May Night podcast. Of course, May Night will be back very soon, and I'll do my preview podcast for that tomorrow, and then whatever else happens with other stuff. Got a few other podcasts I want to do, but we'll do those in due time. If you want to support what we do, of course, you can listen to more episodes on the places I just mentioned and check those out. You can use word of mouth in social media. You can let people know about what we're doing and where they can find it. And if someone mentions something we've podcasted on, like Superman or eventually Fantastic Four, please tell them about those podcasts. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. David should be back soon with Geek Time Radio. I don't know exactly when, but he's on hiatus with that at the moment. But he is still posting TV and film news over on geektime.co.uk. So if you want to get the latest of those things, go to head over to there. And I'm sure Geek Time Radio will be back eventually. And of course, you can find us on YouTube as well. By looking for Entertainment Talk Plays. I've got my recent Astrobot Best Times, so if you want to see me doing those. And there's also the two streams, one of which was the original stream showing off some of the bots in the crash site, and then one of them is the newer one showing off some of the newer bots. So if you want to check that out, you can do that as well. But thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.